The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We welcome you back. The final 2 hours of the program on a busy basketball day when Kentucky has been the story of the SEC, losing to Mississippi State, and the season has come to a screeching halt. Duke is also out. Duke was sidelined today because of a COVID issue. They will not be going to the tournament either. And since we've been on the air, a lot of reaction to what happened today and really unusual conversation about John Calipari. We've also talked about the situation in Baton Rouge with Brooks Kibena. More of your phone calls straight ahead as we check in with Ashley, who is in Kentucky. Hello, Ashley.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I am very proud of Amy for standing up. I go to Western Kentucky University, and we struggle with sexual assault on our campus, not really with administration or staff, but just around the school. And so we actually, as a group of females, have planned a peaceful protest for sexual assault on college campuses. And so I just wanted to say that I was very proud of her for stepping up and talking about what all she experienced and just to advocate for sexual abuse.
Well, Ashley, thank you very much for sharing that. And you continue doing what you're doing. And thank you very much for sharing all of your story with us. And all the best to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much as well. Really interesting call there from a young lady in Kentucky. John is up next. Hey, John, go right ahead.
Yeah, I was over the last 4 years, I think Cal's done a great job, but I think his weakness has been he's failed to realize that the talent that's coming out today is not the same talent as it was coming out back when, you know, he was at Memphis. And it's been over the years, it's just been gradually disintegrating into where the talent and I think the drive and motivation is not there. And, you know, today was his 28th game. And based on 2019 at $19.2 million a year, so that equates to about $328,571. I think a person of that responsibility ought to have discernment enough to see that and make corrections to where he won't put himself into a situation like this. I mean, I have to do that every day. And I don't make near that kind of dollars. But, you know, that's a lot of money not to be able to discern that type of situation going on in your program. But, you know, I mean, that's just a fact.
Well, John, thank you. Appreciate your call. How about Heather up next in Kentucky? Heather, good afternoon to you.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much.
I'm just so disappointed that we continue to have people calling in complaining about Coach Cal and this team. They need to keep in mind that even great programs have bad seasons, and that's kind of what's happened to us at UK this year. This is a great group of young men. Coach Cal is an excellent coach. They just didn't get it together quick enough this year. It's unfortunate, but it doesn't mean that we should be looking for new coaches. You're not going to find anybody better out there. And it's disappointing to me to continue to hear these guys just rip them to shreds when the reality is they're a great team. They're great young men. A lot of them are going to be returning. We're going to learn from it. And you can't win them all. I'm still bleeding blue, and I hope everybody else sticks with them too.
Heather, thank you. Steve is up next in Florida. Steve, how are you?
Hi, Paul. How are you doing? I just wanted to say that this was a pattern. You know, this year, first of all, the strength of schedule that they had right off the bat in a psychological way, I think it put them under the eight ball. You know, immediately during the season, they absolutely, the point guard situation in this game as well as the previous games was just disastrous. And I think if you look at Gonzaga, you know, with Suggs, it's just the management of the game, and he's Coach Cal has always had an excellent point guard to manage the game. Now, out of the game, I wanted to ask you a couple of questions. Could you ever see Cincinnati, Louisville, and possibly West Virginia joining the SEC? And the reason I say Cincinnati is because they have an excellent athletic program. UK never plays them, and I don't know, it may stem from the middle of the 80s, you know, when there was a slowdown of the game. I heard that excuse, but it just seems to be that 90 miles apart, you know, Louisville, they have that a game in a way, you know, each year. But to join the actually join the SEC would really, I think it would really catapult this conference, you know, as far as rivalry goes. And I just can't figure out why West Virginia has to go all the way out to where they play, you know, those games. And yet, you know, you've got the Southeastern Conference. It's right there. You know, it's an excellent athletic program, you know, as well.
Steve, let me answer the West Virginia question, because I remember 10 years ago when there was talk of expansion, I did a couple of interviews on shows up in West Virginia, and I thought West Virginia was a perfect fit for the SEC. Now, the conference ended up going with A&M and Missouri, and I later heard that it had more to do with academics than it did with anything else. I don't know the first thing about West Virginia other than it has a great program, and we had the president, Gordon Gee, on a couple of months ago. But that seemed to be the reason. Cincinnati, I would agree. I think Cincinnati's got a phenomenal athletic department. It's a good school, and it's a new area. You like going into a state like Ohio versus West Virginia.
Yes.
Louisville, I think, is long gone. Louisville has certainly found its home in the ACC. The only way I could see anything ever happening is if we have another explosion, like a Big Bang. That's more from the solar system than anything else, before anybody gets the wrong idea. And you know, we end up shrinking conferences, that maybe we end up, instead of having five Power Fives, we only have three, and the Big 12 implodes. So it's extremely expensive to get out of a conference. Yeah, you know, Maryland ended up, I'm trying to remember what Maryland's cost was getting out of the ACC to go to the Big Ten. It was enormous. And, you know, since then, all these clauses are put in these contracts that make it virtually unbreakable. But that's an interesting question, though. Hey, thank you for the call. Jamie is up next. Hey, Jamie, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Jamie, we're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, how you doing? Hey. Man, you got a great show. I love listening to it.
Thank you.
I've been a little bit disappointed by what I've heard today, though, from the Kentucky fans, making my blood boil. It's people without a brain calling in there, getting on Coach Cal. We got one of the best coaches in the country, and everybody in Lexington, Kentucky knows that. Not only is he one of the best coaches in the country, he's one of the best people. The things that he does for charities in Lexington, Kentucky, you just don't have a brain if you want Coach Cal out of here. And you got a few loudmouths calling in there talking about Coach Cal, and they would do this and they would do that. They're just idiots. Coach Cal, hands down, you ask any expert, top five coach in the country. And what was Kentucky doing before Cal got here? Nothing. They were getting embarrassed. I had a bunch of embarrassment for coaches. Cal came in and saved the program. He's here. He's got my support for as long as he wants to be. I think he's one of the best in the country, and I'm proud to have him. And he gives us a shot every year, and I think we were going to make a run last year. The only thing that saved him was COVID.
Jamie, I agree. Thank you for the call. I agree with you. I thought Kentucky was on the verge of a Final Four last year. We are heading to a break. Appreciate all of you being here. We'll turn it back over here later in the program to the evening games in Nashville, and we'll talk more about what has already gone on with the two games. We just got through watching Florida hold off Vanderbilt. Most of the conversation since we came on the air has been about Kentucky losing to Mississippi State. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. And one school that will not be talked about is the one we are currently talking about right now, and that is the University of Kentucky. An avalanche of phone calls about what went right, which isn't very much, but mostly what went wrong with the Cats. And let's get back to the calls. And Sumit is in Tennessee. Good afternoon to you. Sumit, you there?
Oh, this is Sumit.
Yeah, sure.
Hey,
you're
Paul,
on the air.
How are you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, Paul, the reason I'm calling, I wanted to talk to you about the Kentucky basketball. First of all, I wanted to really say that Cal does a great job. And I'm a little bit frustrated that people are calling in and complaining. And I wanted to give the kudos to the kids who fought the second half and almost tied the game and took the lead. Where I get upset is, we gave up the lead because we had a breakdown in defense and we couldn't keep up the lead. And if you look at the entire season, we have lost half of the games because we couldn't keep up the lead and lose some of those seasons. So I'm a little frustrated on the game plan. And what are your thoughts on that? What are your views on that? Not blaming the kids specifically or not blaming the coach specifically.
Well, Sumit, I mean,
we had a bad.
What we saw in the final 4 minutes of the game was a microcosm of the entire season. Kentucky rarely, if ever, played a complete game. And it, you know, Cal said it. It was, today was not so much of a meltdown. I mean, they had a chance to win at the end. I agree with some of the callers. The shot selection was unnecessary. You didn't need to put up a three. It's a 1 in 3 probability, and that's not what you want. I mean, what are your best odds at the end of a game? And everyone knows that you drive to the bucket and either make the shot and get fouled, or you get fouled and try to win the game at the free throw line. I mean, most people learn that when they were in the fifth grade playing basketball. Steve is up next in Kentucky. Hey, Steve, go right ahead.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hey, Paul. Hey, I'm calling about Cal, too, you know, but the thing of it is people don't realize he could have won a lot more national championships had he told some of these kids, hey, you're not ready to go. But he wouldn't do that. He really does care about the kids, and he's, you know, it's just a bad year. They had no chemistry whatsoever, never did. And about the game ending today, you know what? They got a good look by the best shooter on their team. So I don't really have a problem with that either. But anyway, I just think what he's done, he's made so many of these kids great ball players. And, you know, I can't blame him, man. And big thing with Kentucky fans, I'm a big one, but you know what? I don't think that if you don't win a national championship every year, it was a bad year. And that's the way a lot of our fans are. As far as I'm concerned, he's done a great job.
Thank you very much for the call. How about Billy, who is up next? Hey, Billy, go right ahead.
Hello, Paul. Nice talking to you.
Thank you.
The only thing I've got a problem with is and we've heard this a million times, but it goes back to this one and done. Most of your national championships today, they're led by juniors and seniors, and they may have a super freshman to go along with it, but yet they win the championships to where when you've got players that you keep telling them, oh, you're ready to go pro. I'm just an old-fashioned person. I think if you come to Kentucky to play ball, you ought to play ball for Kentucky until the time's up, and then you move on. And if you go pro, great. That's fantastic. But, Paul, that's all I want to say.
Billy, thank you very, very much. Good to hear from you. Rick is up next. Hey, Rick, thanks. Good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Doing great. Thank you for the call.
Hey, I agree with you on that last shot there. If he'd have been a couple feet a little closer, that was just a little bit too far out of his range. But anyway, I agree with you, too, about taking it to the hole. They're not going to, they can't foul. Two, they didn't need a three. But anyway, the main thing I was calling about is the first half. I mean, it shouldn't have took Cal halftime to straighten out the poor defense. Them scoring, 80-90% underneath the goal when, they've got the length to stop it. And they were backing the players in, manhandling the players, and I just don't think, you got to play two halves. And one half, you can't win a game no matter how good you play in one half.
No, Rick, you're right. I mean, they were in a hole. And I've always felt when you see a team make a run and you come from behind, you've got to put the game away. And I thought I thought they had when they had the 6-point lead. But you understand this. You expend a lot of energy coming from double digits behind. And it's such a critical moment. And that's been Kentucky's problem all year. They can't put the dagger in. And, maybe we shouldn't have expected it, but I expected them to come out today hot. This was their moment. This was Kentucky playing in the SEC tournament. And to see them look so poor at the beginning of the game, and I'm well aware the other team is there is, I mean, sometimes we forget there's another team out there with Kentucky. Well, we didn't forget it this year. But, hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Some really good comments here. And let's check in with Nathaniel, who is up next. Hey, Nathaniel, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today?
We're doing well.
Good deal. Hey, I wanted to call, everybody, all these Kentucky fans calling in, talking about Coach Cal, a couple of them think that it's time to part ways or whatever. I'm an Alabama fan. I mean, Kentucky, they're just not used to losing, You take Alabama, for instance, when's the last time we've been in the Final Four, Elite Eight? It's been a while. So to address all them guys, I'm sure all Alabama fans would be glad to take Coach Cal.
Well, but you understand this, Nathaniel, and I've been there when I was in Birmingham, and even now, I remember an Alabama loss in 2010 in football when they were number one in the country going for a three-peat against South Carolina, and the world had literally come to an end. And that's just Alabama. And, I think Alabama and Kentucky fans are almost identical, except Saban has been able to manufacture this run of national championships. And but Alabama fans have so many in their back pocket now that if they miss a year or two, they can live with it. But Kentucky fans have not won one since 2012. And I still believe that the 15 season many have never gotten over when they had the best team in college basketball by far, maybe one of the best teams of all time, and some bad decision-making down the stretch against Wisconsin cost them that game and the title.
Right.
But it's an expectations game, and Cal, I've heard the flag issue come up here three or four times. I heard it come up back then, and I think underneath all of this, there are some people that did not have an easy time with that, and that's fine. We're not here to debate that. We're here talking about college basketball, but there are, you know, if there are 350 schools playing college basketball, we're trying to get a ticket to the NCAA tournament. I think all but about one or two would be more than happy to be in Kentucky's spot. And one of those who wouldn't is already out of the tournament. That's Duke. Hey, we'll take a break. More of your phone calls, 855-242-7285. The athletic director at the University of Alabama, Greg Byrne, will join us in about 30 minutes. We look forward to talking to you in just a moment.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back here on a Thursday afternoon. Let's get back to the calls. A lot coming in right now. Bobby is up next. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We are well. Thank you.
Listen, I had to call in. These idiots that have been calling in talking about the basketball game today obviously don't know a whole lot about the game. He got the hottest shooter, a wide-open jump shot with 7 seconds to go. And what they don't understand is that with Dante out, it doesn't matter if it's 15 feet, 18 feet, or 23 feet. If it's wide open, it's a good shot. It was an outstanding play call. Plus, any of these idiots who want to replace Coach Cal don't know the game of basketball. He's batting about 900 when it comes to recruiting. He's allowed to miss one time. And also, you cannot consistently win major college basketball without a quality point guard.
Bobby, well said. Thank you very, very much. Let's continue. And how about Jacob up next? Hey, Jacob, thanks. Good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm well.
Well, my roommate and I watched the game today, and we're up here at Western Kentucky University. And we wore our Kentucky shirts all over campus today. We kind of look like foreigners walking around. but we're pretty sad about the results today, but we're looking forward to next season. And I wanted to ask you, who do you think stays for next season? Who do you think goes to the draft? Who do you think transfers away from UK?
Hey, Jacob, I think some of those questions are, you know, the transfer parts are difficult to answer right now. Because I think there's such a state of confusion. I mean, obviously there are a few that are going to get their evaluation, and I don't think there's going to be too much doubt. Do you?
No, sir. And I wanted to ask also, how do we turn around next season? What do we need to focus on in your opinion?
Well, I think what I heard consistently, Jacob, from the experts who know the game, those are people like Jay Billis, Andy Katz, Seth Greenberg, people that we've had on consistently, and they said something that has resonated, that the schedule, because of COVID, the season started later. Kentucky missed the opportunity to really toughen themselves. Now, I think that's an early excuse. That's no longer applicable after 26 games because Kentucky, in the second half of the season, played a brutal schedule every week in, week out, including, they didn't play the Big 12 game. I forgot they had that game was called off because of COVID. So, I mean, I am not saying, hey, you can throw this season out. This is Kentucky basketball. You don't throw anything out. But I would almost assure you that Cal is not going to fret too long over this. I mean, he knows this was a challenge and it went against him, and sometimes that's literally the way it goes. Hey, appreciate your call very much. Great to have you on. How about Gary, who is up next? Hey, Gary, thanks. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how are we doing?
We are well.
Tired of
of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
We're going to change the storyline a little bit. You had Bill Walton on here a while back, and I've been noticing him come up. And I was just curious if you had heard the story between Bill Walton and John Wooden. John Wooden, one of the greatest basketball coaches of all time. And evidently, Bill had decided that he needed to grow some facial hair. And so he decides he's going to go in and have a sit-down meeting with John Wooden. And he does. He goes in, sits down, and he starts explaining to John how he feels like this is his right and that he ought to be able to grow some facial hair. And he went on and on, and John was very polite and listened to him. And at the end of the conversation, John responded. He said, "Bill, I agree with you 100%. You have every right to grow that facial hair. But now when you leave, you go back to your locker and pick all your stuff up because it's over." And it just kind of gives you a feel for the change that we see in what's going on in basketball today.
No, that is a true story, and you're right. And I've heard similar stories like that. Another story, I think it was Coach Bryant and Joe Namath. Joe Namath had been suspended because he had been out late. I know that comes as a big surprise to some people. And he had been suspended for the bowl game. I think Gene Stallings had insisted on it. And Bryant told Joe, I think this is correct. I'm sure somebody will tell me if it's not, that he said, "Well, Joe, I tell you what, we may let you coach in the we're going to let you play in the game, but I'm going to resign as coach." And he said, "Why are you resigning, coach?" He said, "Because if we let you play, then we're violating all the principles that we subscribe to here." And that was the end of that story. They're very similar type stories, and I don't want to say there isn't any discipline today. But you and I both know it's different than it was.
It is definitely different.
And quite frankly, it has to be, because the world today is not the same as it was in the 60s or early 70s when Namath played and when Bill Walton played. Hey, thank you for the call. Chris is up next, and Chris is in Tennessee. As we move on here on a Thursday afternoon. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Paul. It's good to talk to you again. I talked to you for the first time about a week ago.
Thank you.
I had to call back today. You're welcome. Thank you. It's kind of a different angle on what's going on in basketball right now, college basketball. I admit I don't follow it as close as I do college football, but I do enjoy it. And this year has been particularly interesting, so I've been following it a little closer than normal. Is it possible that the elephant in the room that's been forgotten about, that's been out there for so long, we've all forgotten that it's in the room, to be contributing to what we're seeing maybe at Kentucky, Duke, other colleges? And what I'm referring to is about, I think, two seasons ago, there was a big breaking story about investigative reports by somebody who researched this report or wrote this report on a federal investigation into I think it had to do initially with money that vendors of different sporting athletic clothing and whatnot were funneling to players to get them to go to particular schools. There was a big story about that.
Right.
As I recall. And that turned into an NCAA investigation, which I think is still going on. I don't think it's been
enough. Yeah, I think this is I believe it's the Adidas case, maybe
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Primarily in basketball.
Exactly. Well, it had to do with some of the basketball coaches.
Yeah, it had to do with the Arizona coach, the Kansas coach, the LSU coach. I believe this is the same story.
I believe you're right.
Yeah, there was a federal investigation. They did a bunch of wiretaps.
Exactly. I'm just wondering if that's changed the flow of the.
Well, by answering that, I'm indicting a lot of people, but it's entirely possible. You're right.
I mean, it may not be necessarily because I'm not blaming Kentucky. I'm not accusing them of anything or Duke or anyone. But if it's changed,
I mean, to say the least, no matter who, I mean, if you're John Calipari or Roy Williams or Bill Self or Sean Miller, you just don't show up at doors and get recruits. I mean, you have to have networks and I'm not suggesting anything nefarious. I'm just suggesting there are ways of connecting and networking, and John has been one of the best of all time in doing it. And by the way, I've never heard anyone suggest that John Calipari is a rules breaker.
No, I wasn't doing that either. I'm just saying, as a general impact of that investigation, the whole network of recruiting has probably changed the whole.
I think you're right about that, and I don't know the casualty list, but players today, the top players are just looking for some place to hang out for a couple of months. They have no interest in college at all.
Well, and some of the schools that haven't been really, really powerhouses in the past in basketball now are becoming more and more visible. Alabama's a good example. And I'm wondering if some of those players that now are going to those schools in the past would have gone to other schools that were being recruited in some fashion that maybe tended to make them want to go to these high power.
Well, you're right.
And
Chris,
that's not happening anymore.
But I thanks for the call. We have to head to the break. But I think Cal is still doing quite well in recruiting. I mean, that's evident. But you can miss on a player or two. It happens. And, you know, especially on the one and doneers or the ones you think are going to be, if they don't pan out and somebody else is due, that you're going to be in a world of hurt. Hey, thanks for the call. We're up against a break. We still have plenty of time for you to get in at 855-242-7285. Greg Byrne, the athletic director, who made one of the better hires in recent SEC basketball history of Nate Oates a couple of years ago. He'll join us in a few minutes.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back here late on a Thursday afternoon. Amy is up next. Amy, thank you and good afternoon. Let me try that again. Arnie, I'm sorry. I misread the name. Arnie, good afternoon.
Yeah, I heard that, and I didn't know what I'm not Amy.
I was never good with letters.
Okay, what I'm talking about is Kentucky basketball. And you know, Paul, I followed it my whole life, and now I live in Virginia, and I have to see all this Mountaineer stuff and this Virginia Tech and Wahoos, but I'm a true blue man. And let me tell you, people talk about Cal, they don't know what they're talking about. He's the greatest coach that ever coached. And just because he had a bad year, they want to down him? Come on now. It's pitiful.
Well, Arnie, it's fandom in its fandom in living color. And I don't get too upset about it because I love the passion of the Kentucky basketball fans. They are so unique. They treasure that program. They live it. They die it. And today they fully expected to win, and they expected to win the tournament. That's just who they are.
Well, you know, I thought the same thing. I thought, well, we'll catch fire in the tournament, and we'll go on. And my daughter, she's a big fan, too. And it's like somebody died in the family. But you know what? I still back them 100%. And if they talk about their blue bloods, man, they need to go pick another team because their blood's red. They might need to try Louisville.
That's a good point. Hey, I think that's what it – thanks for the call. I think that's what it is. If Kentucky had maybe lost to Alabama tomorrow, they'd still be upset. But it was just a suddenness. It's like when you're the first team that when you're out of the NCAA basketball tournament by 1 o'clock on what's usually the first Thursday. It's just a horrifying fall from grace. And I think that Kentucky just didn't consider that there was another team today. Hey, thank you. Appreciate it. Don is up next in Kentucky. Hello, Don.
Hey, Paul. Enjoy your program.
Thank you.
I'm an old 11B10 light weapons infantryman trained in jungle warfare.
Yes, sir.
And I think Kentucky's problem is that they need to change their uniform. The last caller talked about a red blood and blue blood, but we need to talk about red, blue, and white blood, and they need to put some stars and stripes on that uniform.
Well, first of all, I appreciate your service to this country. That is an extraordinary unit that you mentioned there, but I don't know if that's going to happen, though. Thank you for the call. Mary is up next. Hey, Mary. Mary, are you there?
I'm here.
Well, good. You're on the air, and thank you for calling.
I just wanted to say I think the cats did just fine. They're just kids. They're doing schoolwork, college work. They're playing during the year of COVID, and I think everybody needs to quit whining and crying. Everybody's entitled to a bad year, and God bless you.
Well, thank you, and the same to you. Thanks, Mary. Good attitude, by the way. Tyler, we should all subscribe to that. Tyler is up next. Hello, Tyler.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Tyler, we're doing well. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, man, that guy just said they put red, white, blue, and stars on their jerseys. Man, you don't even know what he's talking about. And, you know, what kills me really bad is people want to down Calipari. Look what he has done since he has come to Kentucky. One bad year. And then what we have this bad year, and they just want to get rid of him. You know, and it's crazy.
Well, Tyler, it is crazy, but it's an overreaction. I think there's some underlying factors here, and I don't really want to open that that can of worms because we've already closed it. But you live there, you understand what I'm talking about. I think some events of a couple of months ago rubbed some people the wrong way, and they just had a difficult time getting over it. They should get over it though, and. As we have said repeatedly, there's just this empty, barren feeling today. Anyway, thanks for the call. A lot of great calls, some not so. We'll continue taking them. Meanwhile, we change gears ever so slightly, like to a program that's doing great, the program that won the SEC in basketball. Greg Byrne, the athletic director at Alabama, and on the story of how he ended up with Nate Oates.